Following presentation, universities sharing an IT service, the ups and downs, was given by Nathan Prisk of Falmouth Exeter Plus and Network Shop 42 in April 2014.
Thank you very much, Nathan.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you to Janet for inviting me. It's been a long time since I've talked at a Janet workshop before. I think Shirley just mentioned it. I think it was Exeter, and I don't know when that was. Yeah, it was a long time ago. And that was about VoIP. So this one is about shared services. So slightly different. But I was going to come here today and talk about understanding complex weather. Following on from yesterday's speech or lecture, I thought it'd be far better for me to go into that, but no, probably not. So my talk is about university sharing an IT service, and I'll kind of explain more about that as we go along, but it has its ups, and obviously it has its downs as well. I tried to draw a diagram of how it works down in Falmouth on the Cornwall campus, but it was too complicated to draw, so I thought I'd try and describe it as we go along. But basically, there are two universities, Falmouth University and Exeter University, who formed a shared services company that they own, Falmouth Exeter Plus, that deliver a majority of those shared services on a campus. So today, I want to go through a bit of the history, the campus as it is, as it was, and hopefully where we're going to take it, the timeline over the time that we've been delivering these shared services, the network as it was in 2004 when we started sharing, the issues that we've come across, so trusts, VPN, etc. Also, we'll move on to then to the network as it is today and how we're dealing with problems that we've got today. Then I'll move on to some of the political problems, because not only are you having to deal with the technology, you've also got to deal with how two different universities deal with their kind of delivery on that campus. And then we'll go on to things like software licensing, which also cause us some issues. And then I want to kind of open it up for you guys to actually ask me questions, because it's part of it. Though I could go on talking forever, but I just wanted some engagement as well. My bio says I'm a proud Cornishman, and in the past I've talked so many talks that I've talked about the Cornish pasty, but now I've been told that that is now off limits. I can't talk about pasties anymore, so I'll talk about the steam engine just to break the kind of the mood up first. So most people think that the steam engine was an invention by Robert Stephenson. It wasn't. Back in 1804, a Cornishman called Richard Trevithick designed and built Whistling Billy. There's a famous Cornish song called Going Up Camborne Hill, Coming Down, which is all about the steam engine trying to get up a hill. He then went on into kind of 1804 and he built the first steam engine proper. And it came to London and it did a little circle around a railroad. I think history is now coming to know that more, but I just wanted to make sure that people were aware that it is a Cornish invention and not a British invention. Okay, so a bit of history and introduction. Okay, so IT services is a very, very small team on the campus. There's six first-line staff, which include staff that sit in IT suites and help the students on a one-to-one basis with their standard problems. You know, can we put some paper in the printer trays? Can you help us with Adobe? Can you help us with SPSS? We've then got our standard second line technicians that go out, help the staff with Word problems and Outlook problems, etc. We've then got four infrastructure people. They look after the networks, the phone, Active Directory, Link, Exchange, firewalls, you name it, everything. Then in our kind of data architecture team, we've got 8 people, and those are our DBAs, our SQL experts. We've got our VMware support in there. We've got our VDI solution in there, SharePoint, backups, SolarWinds monitoring, SCCM, and I'm sure there's a lot of others that are done within that team as well. Then there are 4 heads of the departments and 1 director. We've got 2 campuses in Cornwall. One is the Penryn campus, which is the larger of the 2 campuses. It's the newer of the 2 campuses. And we've then got the original Falmouth School of Art from the 1800s, which is in Falmouth Centre, which is a smaller campus. It's where we all started, but it only has about 1,000 students on it. So those are the 2 campuses. Totally, we have about 1,000 staff across Falmouth, Falmouth Exeter Plus, and Exeter University, and about 5,000 students, including postgrads, postdocs, etc. Falmouth is a kind of art, design, media centre. Exeter, very, very science-focused with a big bioscience, geophysics, geography, English. We did have law. Law went back. We've got politics instead. I don't know if that was a fair swap or not. But from an Exeter perspective, the growth around biosciences is massive, and some of the buildings that we're building and have built are dedicated to biosciences research. We have about 92 service level agreements. When I say service level agreements, they're more like service catalogues than that, but there are 92 things that IT support, and that's outside of all the applications that we support. We've got 1 IT suite that has over 100 different applications installed on it. So these are our big challenges, because you've got Adobe Photoshop for the designers, you've got 3D design for the 3D designers, and you've got stats and science software for the mathematicians and the scientists. So we have big challenges. We've got large-scale IT suites that everybody uses. We've got procurement. We don't buy for everybody. We buy for Falmouth. We buy for Falmouth Exeter Plus. We don't buy for Exeter. The depth of the support, as I said, is large. It covers all of the standard university features, but then some, because we've also got to do support for another university. And data security. How do we actually work within that when we're controlled by 2 kind of information security toolkits? We use the Janet one. Exeter use, you know, the Janet one, but they've also got modifications to that, as Falmouth have. So it becomes a challenge for us. So the campus, the main campus is made up of a number of buildings. Some of those buildings are shared, so the student can actually go to a PC cluster, sit down, and they may be a Falmouth student, they may be an Exeter student. They also could be a member of staff from any of the 3 institutions. So that has its challenges. So we've also got a number of buildings that are dedicated either to one or the other. So there'll be the ESI, which is a large research institution for Exeter, and we've got the Academy for Innovation and Research for Falmouth. So we've got to do different policies and different bits and pieces for each of those buildings. These are just a few pictures of the campus, some of the new buildings, but also because the campus used to be a convent school when we bought it, our main lecture theatre, which is the curved building on the left at the top, used to be the chapel. And as it was a convent school, they used to use incense, and you can still smell the incense in kind of infused into the fabric of the building. So, timeline, how am I doing? Okay. 1999, Falmouth University, or at the time it was University College Falmouth, buys the Tremo campus. I'm calling it the Tremo campus because that's what it was when we bought it. It's turned into the Penryn campus through branding changes and university titles being added. So, but basically it was a 70-acre site that Falmouth bought from the nuns and occupied it on a kind of this very small size, really, because our main campus was, at the time, the secondary campus now, the Wood Lane campus. 2000, Falmouth University buys into Cisco because I was at a network shop when 3Com decided, and some of you will probably remember, that they were going to pull out of the core builder market. There was a talk from Greenwich, I think, about how they were going to be using 3Core builders. They had to change their speech quite quickly. I bought 3Com core builders as well in 1999. So 2000, we had to change our mind. So we decided to adopt Cisco and voice over IP at the time. That's when I got involved with Janet, because we were one of the first universities to actually deploy large-scale VoIP across the campus, and I joined the voice advisory group back in 2001-2002. Then in 2002, Cornwall was awarded a significant amount of funding from Europe, and that allowed the campus to kind of grow, really, and Exeter and Falmouth decided that they were going to pool all of their resources. Exeter had a number of small outlets around Cornwall delivering small, so the Cornish Studies Institute, they had Camborne School of Mines, a very, very well-known mining school in Cornwall, but it was in very old accommodation and it needed modernization. So the European money built the campus, and in 2002 we started planning for that, and we had to start planning the how we were going to deliver the sharing of the campus. 2003, the first phase of that campus was delivered. That was for Falmouth, and it was for their design centre, which was ironically in the middle of the new building. So the new building was very kind of modular, and the way they designed it was that the first bit they were going to build was in the centre and we were going to continue building. So it had challenges for us. 2004, the main campus opened, a £65 million building, one corridor, is nearly half a kilometre long. The IT guys asked if they could have electric scooters to go back and forward. I said no. They said please. I still said no, but it's a long corridor. So that's when the kind of the shared services really started off, was 2004. So that's a key date. 2008, more shared buildings delivered. We keep growing the campus. And unfortunately for us, that hits a four-year recycle. So in 2004, we bought 1,000 PCs. 4 years later, we build another building. So on top of refreshing everything, we were building and replacing and buying new at the same time. So a bit more planning from the business leaders next time, I think. 2012, ESI, the big research institute, is delivered. And this year, we're kicking off another research centre for Exeter. So that's a kind of aerial view of the campus back in 2009. It's changed quite a lot of that. The kind of east side of the campus is primarily student accommodations, 1,200 rooms, all with Wi-Fi and all with voice over IP Cisco phones as well. We're AEC, that's the main building, and we own all of the... Is there a laser on here?
Yes,
top bar. We own the kind of that. And all this is now prime for development or car parks, depending on what we want. So, moving on. Sorry, take a glass of water. When we started talking to the academics in 2002, they said, oh, there'll be no research down at the campus. It's just going to be undergraduate provision. 2005, I think it was the REF or the RAE, and they changed their mind. It all became research, and the students took second fiddle. So when we were designing the network, nobody really knew, because the people that were on the steering committee were at Streatham, and there was nobody actually employed from an extra perspective who was going to work on the campus. So we built our new buildings around Cisco. Exeter had at the time a mixture of kit. And the first thing that we found was that lots of things didn't work. So students were suffering from being distanced from their application. So at the time, Exeter, I think, had standard SMTP mail with Squirrel Mail on the top. Falmouth had Exchange and OWA. So I think, yeah, I'll skip. I'll come back to the drawing. Exeter had an IP range of 144 something, and I can never remember it. It's massive. Falmouth only had two Class Cs. Just to point out that we only had one Janet connection. There's a shared service, and we were sharing Falmouth's Janet connection. That's kind of a bit key. We only had 8 meg at the time. So IP issues, so database providers, catalogs through the library primarily, secured their access by IP range. They wouldn't see the Falmouth campus as anything but a secondary campus. It wasn't primary campus. You can pay more money if you like. So we had to come up with a way to deliver that. So the way we did it at the time was to install the VPN concentrator here, Falmouth and at Exeter, so we could deliver a VLAN. So you'll see we've got a Cisco VPN 3000, I think it was at the time, there, and another one that we actually put inside the Exeter data center, so we could create a VPN tunnel between Janet, or over Janet, between Falmouth and Exeter. However, and there's lots of howevers in this presentation, VPN by design encrypts data, which is fine. However, as I told you, it's far from ideal for heavily compressed traffic. So a lot of the delivery was video conference. There was video teaching, more than video conferencing. They were delivering parts of modules or modules from one campus to the other. So you'd get a lecturer in Streatham delivering to a seminar room in Penryn. We were suffering massive dropouts with that because the VPN solution is not able to really deliver that type of solution. Exeter were also moving forward with Active Directory at the time. Falmouth had Active Directory and Exeter didn't. Shit, I'm running out of time. So we were suffering from slow logons and timeouts. So those last two issues really caused a rethink. So this is where we are now. This is kind of where we were after we had that rethink. We upgraded our data center. We put two Nexus cores in the center of it. Exeter then, through Roger Snelling, put two private LES lines, two 1 gig lines in a resilient configuration down to the campus. So we've got that between Cornwall campus and Streatham campus. And we have two Juniper switches that now route the traffic to Exeter. I'm going to have to hurry up. So this still has issues. So scenario one, Falmouth students look at www.exeter.ac.uk. That's fine. It goes out through the Falmouth Janet connection. We created a VLAN, called it VLAN 900. So when Exeter staff look at that, it routes the traffic through to Exeter through their own links. ResNet traffic treated as inbound traffic and routed wherever. All okay. Everything works a treat. However, scenario two has some options based around other destinations. So on the campus, we've got services that Exeter have to access as well. So we have to put in policy-based routing to say, actually, if you want to go here when you're on Exeter's VLAN, you need to hop off. So Exeter students on the ResNet, the shared ResNet, unfortunately, we can't do that at the moment. We have to do some 802.1x stuff, and we're really not there at the moment with that. Active Directory trusts. Okay, so we've both got Active Directories. Currently, we have a one-way trust, which limits us. We need to put in a two-way trust to have a full, but it comes back to we're a shared service, we're owned by both universities, and we have to trust each other. And currently, we trust them, they don't trust us. LDAP-S, Exeter students have to reset their password by a web page in Exeter to reset their password up there, and then we sync it back to our Active Directory for them to use down here. LinkOS, I'll skip over that. Political problems in the last kind of 45 seconds of my speech. If I want to book a video conference, for example, we don't have a shared booking system, so the rooms are in two different booking systems. So I want to book a video conference, I've got to find a room with a video conference at Streatham, book it, then ring up another place. Say, have you got a room between 10:30 and 11:30? They go, no. Go back. So until we break up those kind of political problems where we have disparate solutions, we're always going to have these kind of problems. Software licensing. We found that obviously using shared IT, as long as the software licensing companies are happy that both campuses are paying for the software, then you can use whatever licenses you like. So with Microsoft Campus Agreement, both Falmouth and Exeter have it, that's fine. Oracle, we had two different licenses. We could use Oracle databases, but if we wanted to use Oracle RAC, real-time application clustering, Exeter didn't have that, Falmouth did. If we wanted to use it for shared services, we'd have to buy it separately. Wiley databases, as I mentioned earlier, and IP-based services cause us problems. That's our policy-based routing kind of algorithm. Sorry, rushed there at the end.
Thank you, Nathan. Can I take a couple of questions, please?
Do you think of which problem is the most difficult to solve, a business or technology?
I think technology can solve most of the problems if the politics want it to happen. So the problem with timetabling, if we had one timetabling system that covered the two universities as another shared service potentially, would solve a lot of problems. Exeter students currently have their timetable made in one, and the Exeter students in Streatham have theirs made in another one, and they get a far better experience because they have more information in theirs than the Exeter students do. So if we elevated it up, but that means breaking up parts of the shared service and moving it outside of the insourced shared service. So it can be overcome, it's just having the will to do it.
And one more quick question, anyone? Ed.
What about the governance?
Yeah, I mean, we're completely owned by the two universities. So we're not owned by BT, we're not owned, although I threatened to say to my boss that it's probably better if we went to BT. If we don't innovate, we die, and we might as well become a service delivery agent. So that's the challenge for us as well at the moment. So innovation versus service delivery.
Right, well, thank you very much, Nathan, for that chat. Right. Next up is Ed Carter from YHMan. He's based at University of Leeds and is a business manager. And he'll be talking about YHMan Shared Virtual Data Center. Over to you, Ed. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you for the invitation, Janet. I guess it's my home territory. So there would have been barricades at the door if you hadn't let me come. Okay, I'm going to talk about YHMan and its shared virtual data center. YHMan.
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training as part of NetWorkshop Online. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.